Blog Talk Radio.
Why do some companies think focusing on their product or offering trumps understanding customers' business needs? Welcome to Enterprise Marketing, the Future, which focuses on how the future of marketing is about performing real time, being an agile organization to make the most of evolving opportunities to impact customers and profits. I'm your host, Helene Eichler. Join us to stay up on trends and best practices for marketing thought leaders that fuel organizations' current and future marketing effectiveness. Today, we're excited to have Joe Raleigh, social selling evangelist and startup advisor, with us to discuss why and how sales and marketing should be using social networks to first engage customers and prospects, not immediately promote their company's offering. Welcome, Jill. Let's get started.
I'm ready, Helene, and very excited to be here today.
Thank you. Yeah, Jill, I mean, I know, you know, you're known as the queen of social media, to say the least. But, I mean, what do you view are the must-have considerations when putting together a social selling approach?
Yeah, so it was funny because even today, this morning, I was at the gym, and a woman came up to me, and she said, "Oh, my gosh, are you in social media?" And I said to her, I should have asked her why she asked first. That would have been the right thing to do. But I went into this distinction of social media from social networking and social network. And a lot of the work I do is with sales organizations and helping them transform, helping them modernize to be relevant to the modern buyer. The work that I did when I was at Eloqua was with marketing, same work in terms of modernizing and transforming to be relevant to the modern buyer. But now I'm really focused on the sales industry. And there's a difference between social media, which is generally for marketing, and social networks, which are for sales. Media is about reach. Networks are about relationships. And so when I talk to sales professionals, it's all about leveraging these networks to do research on their buyers, to be relevant to their buyers, to build relationships with their buyers that ultimately drive revenue. Now, Helene, before an individual or a company decides to really stand up a social selling program, there definitely are a few things that really need to be in place before going full scale into social selling. And if you don't mind, I'll start with discussing a few of those.
Please.
So critical is to have senior level executive buy-in. They need to buy into the sales organization leveraging social as a channel. So a lot of times the senior leaders are more, you know, they're of an older age demographic, and they're not digital or social natives. And they may not use social networks themselves. And so if all of a sudden the sales team is being trained on how to use these social networks and the executive team doesn't really buy into social, you're going to have a massive disconnect. So you've got to give buy-in from the executives in helping the executives understand that social is a channel where their buyers are, and therefore their salespeople need to be there too. You have to really line up cross-functional teams. Social selling, it has selling in the word, but it really requires an incredible amount of support from marketing. And marketing is the group that really understands the content strategy of the organization. Marketing has the relationships with the analysts, the third-party experts in their company's domain. So marketing can help sales from really a content perspective and knowing who the influencers are in the industry. And then there really needs to be training. There needs to be a commitment to ongoing training, coaching, social changes at the speed that we can't to be the right training and coaching and mentoring programs in place. Those are just a couple of the things that need to be in place before launching into a social selling initiative.
Great. Well, to that point, Jill, you know, you mentioned the buyers, right, and your customers. How do we measure then the impact once we've engaged in social selling? How can we measure it? How is we, let's say, as marketers, for example, prove, yes, this is working?
Yeah, ultimately, the rubber meets the road with revenue. In sales is measured on revenue. So ultimately, social selling has to be tracked. You have to track revenue either sourced or influenced from social selling. Now, revenue is a lagging indicator, in particular in companies that have long, complex sales cycles. So if your average sales cycle is 12 months, then you're going to stand up social selling and you're not going to see revenue in the first week of a social selling initiative because your average deal cycle is 12 months. And so it's a lagging indicator. Leading indicators, what we found is that actually learning behavior is correlated to social selling success ultimately, that the sales professionals who go through the training program and are actively engaged on a weekly basis, learning these new skills, applying these new skills, completing their assignments, reading the additional supporting resources, practicing the new skills, attending the coaching calls. Those are leading indicators that we have shown a positive correlation to ultimately social selling success. You also want to measure things like LinkedIn has a metric that makes it real easy. It's a LinkedIn metric, so it's not really a social selling index, although it's called social selling index. It's really a LinkedIn social selling index. And you can go to Google, type in LinkedIn social selling index. Anybody at any time can find out what their SSI score is. LinkedIn has done extensive research that reps who have higher social selling index generate more pipeline, rep sourced pipeline, and meet their revenue targets more than those reps who have lower social selling index. We don't have enough time to go deep into all of the metrics, but a partner of mine, Sales for Life, they're my training partner. They blog about social selling ROI and the metrics to measure leading and current and lagging indicators. And again, you can go to Google, you could do a search for blog posts relating to social selling ROI.
Perfect. Now, Jill, I know you work with a lot of different firms and whatnot there. So where have you seen, what are some examples of people who are really doing this right? You know, companies who got this down, so to speak.
Yeah, I'll be quite direct. There's no one company yet that has fully optimized social selling. It's transformational. There's a lot of change management required in this initiative, and there's a lot of cross-functional group alignment required as well. So most of the companies that we see are you know, at some stage in the journey, but nobody is doing this at a 10 out of 10. Companies that I see, easier to mobilize a sales team in a smaller organization. So you've got a lot of tech, more startup and mid-sized companies who are embracing these concepts. Companies like HireVue, companies like New Relic, they have, and one of the things, the common thread I see is they have someone within the organization who is a change agent, who is a mobilizer, who really has the respect of
marketing has the respect of sales and plays an enablement and training and change agent role. It's kind of like, Helene, my early days in marketing automation when I was at Eloqua. The success of a marketing automation project oftentimes was driven and dependent on the person within that organization who understood marketing technology, who understood marketing operations as a function, who understood the evolving role of marketing. So we're seeing very similar parallels in social selling where it really requires that change agent, that individual who understands how things have been done in the past, but really has a firm grasp on how the industry is changing and what they need to do to align their sales organization to that modern buyer. Make sense?
Yeah, you know it does. And to that point, Jill, if my next question being, you know, where did the sales and marketing professionals say miss when they try to implement a social selling approach, I would assume along with the lack of, let's say, the change agents, whatnot, what else? Where do they just not get it when they're trying to do a social selling?
And that's great. And just to circle back to there are also very large companies who are, and that's why no one's at a 10 out of 10, in particular in the enterprise space that I work. I work with companies like CA Technologies, SAS, Intel, starting to do work with Rocade. Those companies, what they are doing is they understand the importance of sales and marketing alignment. They understand that, one, marketing can't really do this alone, right? Marketing can't go into sales and tell sales they're going to teach them how to sell, or go into sales and tell sales they're going to teach them how to use social media. And when I see a lot of times marketing-led initiatives, what happens is that the program is really in the language of marketing, not in the language of sales. So more in the language of reach versus in the language of relationships. And more in the language of, traditional social media metrics like number of impressions, number of clicks, number of retweets, number of followers, versus, like, that's not the point of social selling. The point of social selling is to build and deepen relationships with people and companies that are in your ideal customer profile that can buy from you, and not only the customers, the buyers, but also the influencers in the industry. Sales is a lot harder than it used to be, and buyers are expecting a lot more from sales professionals because the basic information can be I can self-educate, right? I can go and I can find lots of information as a buyer by myself. So when I'm willing to invest my time with a sales professional, that sales professional has to bring insights, not product information, but insights about trends in the marketplace that I care about, insights into things that are happening in my specific industry that I work in or my specific geographic region, insights about my customers, right? So salespeople are being held to a higher standard, a higher level. And so they have to be able to add value much earlier to the buyer to be able to get that buyer's attention. So you've got to have really, what I say is three things. It's the mindset of the modern seller, which is not about selling. It's not about always be closing. It's not about, crushing your quota. The mindset is, how do I become a resource, a valuable resource to my customers, to my future customers? How do I add value to them earlier in their buying process? How do I understand their buying process, and how do I help them go through the various stages of the buying journey? How do I help them collaborate internally. And a lot of times, Elena, when I get on a call with like a GE, for example, I'm helping them understand what other divisions within GE are doing around social selling. Similar to my conversations with Brocade, you know, I'm helping connect the people within that company to each other. They're implementing an employee advocacy product and helping them understand how investing in social selling training will help drive adoption of their investment in an employee advocacy platform. So the sales professional is really being the successful ones are going to look way more like subject matter experts, way more like trusted advisors than they are going to be looking like, you know, just traditional, you know, take you out to the golf course or get you tickets to the Giants game. It's we're just living in a very different environment.
Which makes sense. So, yeah, to quote you from the presentation I heard, you know, instead of always be selling, it should be always be connecting, right? I mean, that's
exactly
kind of the new mantra as well. Well, Jill, if you want to just wrap it up, I mean, what three or four takeaways that our audience can go off with and learn?
Yeah, absolutely, Helene. So it social selling is incremental. It needs to be embedded into your existing sales methodology, your existing sales processes, your existing CRM and marketing automation systems. It needs to be embedded into your existing metrics, things that you measure. It needs to be embedded into your culture. Your social selling requires executives who believe in transparency, authenticity, openness, and sharing. So there's, you know, there's things that need to be in place to ensure that you'll be successful. It really requires a new skill set. I always say, if you learn how to tweet, you better learn how to delete a tweet. Learning how to use Twitter is a lot harder than learning how to use the phone. It's a lot more nuanced. And so a formal, a prescriptive training curriculum, oftentimes the organization doesn't have that domain expertise internally to build this training curriculum because oftentimes the folks that are in sales training aren't subject matter experts in social and in using social networks. So I encourage you to ensure that, you know, if you're going to train the sales organization, know that it's not just a lunch and learn. It's not just a webinar. It's not just an online video. It's not just having me come speak at your sales kickoff meeting. There has to be a real a program in place to support the transformation. And then from a tools perspective, one of the things very similar to what I saw in marketing automation, as the topic becomes very popular, analysts start to do research on it, companies start to talk about their success, events start to be put on regarding social selling and digital selling. What we see is companies rush to solve it with a tool. And as much as I am a huge fan of LinkedIn and use it literally all day, many times during the day, I say you don't exist to me if you're not on LinkedIn. LinkedIn doesn't equal social selling. And a lot of companies I've seen have gone out and licensed a Sales Navigator for their sales team and not made the proper investments to get that executive buy-in, to ensure that they have a proper curriculum, not just from how to use a tool, but how to engage differently, right? We started this whole thing with, it is one of the things I say is to be interesting, you have to be interested. And to be interested, I can't have it be all about me. Me. So. I have to understand my buyer, what they care about, what makes them tick, and I have to lead with what they care about, not with what I care about. And so, you know, really in terms of having, you know, the right resources to provide the training around the tools, I definitely think tools help scale and measure and make this more efficient. I would not start your social selling initiative going out and buying a tool. I would really think through it more strategically and ensure you have some of the elements in place that I discussed. And some of the resources I recommend, Helene, because I'm always about, you know, it's not just about me. Don't just listen to me. Forrester is doing a great job covering the topic. They have some really awesome research reports, as is Serious Decisions is covering it a little less extensively than a Forrester. And then from a vendor, Sales for Life, Sales FOR Life, has an incredible blog and a resource center. Everything you would ever want to know about social selling, you can find on their website. And there are a number of you know, industry experts on the topic as well. Just happy to share more of that if you want to engage in social on Twitter or even connect with me on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Well, Jill, thanks so much for sharing your insights and the plethora of info that you've given us this afternoon, and we look forward to keeping in touch.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Helene. Hopefully your audience got some value out of the conversation.
Thanks, Jill. Bye-bye.